KUOW 94.9 Seattle News and Information. I'm Bill Radke. First come, first served. That's the law now if you're trying to find an apartment in Seattle or if you're a landlord with an apartment to rent. Thanks to the law passed last summer, first of its kind in America, landlords cannot thumb through a stack of applications and choose the tenant they like the most. They've got to rent to the first qualified applicant. One of my guests now says that law helps renters get treated equally. John Grant ran the tenants union in Seattle. He's a candidate for Seattle City Council. Welcome, John.
Hello, thanks for having me.
And Chris Bennis is a landlord in Seattle and says finding the right tenant is, it's like dating or a job interview. You want the right person, not the first person. And he's part of the group suing the city over this new law. Chris, welcome.
Thank you very much.
First, Chris, why is it so important to choose who you rent to? If they meet the financial requirement, what's the issue?
The real issue is that the typical relationship between a landlord and tenant isn't like taking a box of soap off the shelf at Safeway and just walking out the door. You're building a relationship, hopefully one that's going to last for years, and you want to be able to find the right fit. Yes, I agree that there needs to be laws against discrimination and things like that, but there are a lot of subjective factors that are just practical issues between residents and property owners.
Like what? What are those subjective factors?
Well, typically, I don't have somebody come to the door and say, I want to rent today. I got my suitcases in my hand. They might say, I'm looking for a place next week or next month or 2 months from now. And so by creating this big pipeline of everybody rushing to be first in line, you've got this I don't know what the word is, you know, this big group of people who are all wanting to rent today, but they may not need the place today. It doesn't work with the typical experience I've had renting properties in the city of Seattle. Most people say, you know, they'll also say things like, boy, this is a nice place, but, you know, would it cost more or less if you replaced the carpet or didn't replace the carpet? Or I can live with it right now. Would the rent be any cheaper? All of that negotiation goes out the window if we're just saying this is a commodity that a tenant walks up to the door. I'm first in line. I want it. All that goes out the window.
John Grant, what about that? The landlord's ability to negotiate with individual renters who have different desires?
Well, I think it's really important to note that this law did not get created in a vacuum. Just a year ago, the city of Seattle charged 23 large property owners for housing discrimination. And when the Seattle Office of Civil Rights did a study, they actually found that 60% of the landlords that they tested had evidence of fair housing violations. So I just want to kind of paint a picture here about what the real issue. Let's say you have two tenants that apply for a unit. One is a white woman and another is a woman who has an Arabic name and is wearing a hijab. Now, if that landlord is considering those two folks for an application before this law was passed, these might be subject to the implicit bias of that landlord, and maybe they're more comfortable renting to someone that looks more like them. So as a result of that, you know, we were seeing that the fair housing and anti-discrimination laws were essentially pretty toothless without this new protection in place.
Would that hijab discrimination?
That's why the first-in-time legislation is so important, so that the first qualified applicant, regardless of what they look like, can get that housing.
And that you'd use the example of a hijab. Is that kind of discrimination legal now?
No, it is not. So under the City of Seattle's anti-discrimination laws, you're protected based on your race, your religion, your national origin. But if you do not have that kind of protection that the first-in-time legislation permits, what's to stop a landlord from kind of going through a stack of applicants and choosing the applicant that they're, you know, perhaps being biased towards? And I think
what's a kind of bias that's legal but not okay? I mean, the hijab example, that we have laws about that. So how do you think people are discriminated currently that you can change that?
So we live in the Donald Trump era where casual racism is becoming a norm. And I think that city should do everything that it can to prevent folks from being denied housing based on their race, their religion, or any other protected class. And that's what first-in-time legislation does. It requires the first qualified applicant, regardless of how they look or where they come from, to get housing. And I think my question to Chris is, what is it about someone's looks that should determine if they have housing?
Is it their looks that you're evaluating, Chris?
Absolutely not. But like I said, you know, I have like some single family homes that I rent, for example, and some people might come to me and say, gee, is it okay if I plant flowers in the yard, or I love to garden? And there's a lot of reasons that are not discriminatory for which I might prefer one resident over another. Again, I'm trying to build a long-term relationship. And as long as I'm not engaging in a discriminatory practice on those protected class bases, which I agree with John on, should be prohibited, there's a lot that goes into this. You know, the thing about my particular property is I don't own it. It's owned by my three children, ages 13, 14, and 15. It's their college fund. This isn't Simon Legreed here, you know. My wife and I just took my kids' college fund and we bought them a little six-unit apartment building. But we want to manage it for their benefit.
Isn't John right, though, that over time, the old law allowed landlords to, let's say it's to discriminate against somebody who doesn't speak English well, or like vulnerable people who are in trouble if they're subject to the whims of, as John said, maybe even an implicit bias that you're not aware of as a landlord.
I have two responses to that. First of all, I know that Jonathan, who I'm well acquainted with, is running for city council. When he picked his campaign manager, I wonder if he just went to the first qualified applicant, or did he find somebody who was a good fit for him when he was hiring somebody for something critical? What I'm saying is most of the folks like myself, in my case, it's my kids' college fund. We have retired people, though, in rental houses, and they need that money, and they need a long-term tenant. They need a good relationship. And this ordinance steps in the middle of all of that and just presumes that all landlords are acting out of bad motivations, and I think that's just flat-out wrong.
John,
so if I can interject there, yeah. So I guess I want to point out that this is not about, you know, whether Chris is a good landlord or about me. This is about the city conducting a test of landlords and finding that 60% of the time there is evidence of discriminatory practices. So this is not coming out of the air. This is a real problem that the city was trying to address. And the first come, first serve legislation is the most equitable way to address the kind of discrimination that it does exist right here in Seattle, as progressive a city as it is.
Chris, you are a plaintiff in this lawsuit against the city with landlords. And one of the claims in the lawsuit is that this new law passed in this last summer will harm the availability of housing in the city. Why would that be?
Well, the truth of the matter is that this is an incredibly complicated law. One of the reasons that we deferred filing a lawsuit is just to figure out how the city was going to interpret the law. There are so many people who, as rental property owners, don't know how to comply with it, that people are going to be chased out of providing rental housing. Now,
well, it sounds super simple to comply with. First come, first serve.
No, because you have to have very specific rental criteria, and you have to publish them. You couldn't just take your little 3x5 card and put it on the bulletin board at your church saying apartment for rent. You have to list what all your rental criteria are when you do any advertising. If you have a website, it has to link directly to your rental criteria. I've developed a rental criteria that is 4 pages long. You know,
So you've upped your requirements on the front end to shape that who a qualified applicant is.
Exactly. And I'm not using just things like rental criteria in terms of income or credit score. I'm going, were you on time to the showing appointment? Did you take your shoes off when you came in to view the place? Mm. Because I'm trying to get to all those subjective things that I look to when I'm interviewing a prospective tenant. Whether all landlords are going to do that, I don't know. But yeah, that's why criteria is now 4 pages long.
If I can jump in there. Mm-hmm. So I think that's kind of the very last thing that Chris said there, is that I don't know what other landlords are doing. And I think that that's what this is trying to get at. Not all landlords are good actors. And I think that we have to have legislation and regulation to make sure that people are treated equally. That's what the heart of this legislation is. It's that making sure that people who are perfectly qualified to be good tenants get treated equally. And this is what the legislation accomplishes, where before there was a huge loophole where, you know, somebody could just pick and choose between applicants based on their protected class status. And I think that is really the problem. And I think it's important to point out, too, that the Rental Housing Association itself, which Chris is a part of, this is the landlord, you know, lobbying group. They testified saying that first come, first serve is the best practice to prevent a discrimination complaint against the landlord. So they themselves said that this is actually the best practice for landlords to follow.
Jonathan, we look at people who come to the door and look at a place on the first come, first serve basis. But when we're looking at them, we still use subjective factors. And those things, as long as they're not discriminatory, are fair game. At least that's the way we believe it is. And that's the way I would like to see it remain. And there's a reason why this is a first There's no other law like this anywhere in the United States. This is unprecedented, the idea of taking the rental housing decision entirely out of the landlord's hands.
We're getting close to the end here. You said that you think this will harm the availability of housing. If this law stands, will you get out of the landlord business?
The fact of the matter is I have two small rental properties in the city of Seattle, a 6-unit and a 3-unit, and both of them are listed for sale right now, and because of this law.
John, any reaction? Whatever the merits for renters, do you think this will mean fewer owners renting out their properties?
I think that it's pretty implausible that landlords would sell a huge asset like an entire apartment complex simply because they're being asked to treat people equally. Seattle needs to be an equitable place where everyone can live, and this is a law that furthers for housing laws and furthers protects tenants, and it's the right thing to do.
Okay, so we have this lawsuit. Again, Chris Bennis is a Seattle landlord, part of a group suing the city over this requirement that he rent on a first-come, first-served basis. And what happens next with the lawsuit? Where are we on this?
It's been filed with the court. I'm not the attorney who's handling the case. And, you know, typically in King County, a case takes a year and a half. So
it's
moving forward for a while.
Okay, I gave Chris the first word. John Grant, former executive director of the Tenants Union and Seattle City Council candidate. Any final words on this law and the challenge to it?
I think that there is a huge imbalance of power between landlords and tenants, and this is a very reasonable, modest proposal to make sure that we can have a rental market where people are not discriminated against. And I think that it's even in the landlord's interest to make sure that laws like this are upheld. So I'm disappointed that the landlords filed this lawsuit, but I think ultimately it will lose in court because fair housing laws have been upheld many times before. Because, again, it's the right thing to do to treat people equally.
We'll watch. John Grant, Chris Bennis, thanks for having a good discussion about this, the pros and cons of this law and the challenge to it. Thank you. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Bye, Chris. KUOW's The Record.